This is the United States Eventing Association's official podcast. Hello and welcome to episode 195. I'm Chris Stafford. And joining me now is Rob Burke, the CEO at US Eventing Association, to give us a review of this year's annual meeting and convention. Rob, welcome back to the program.
Thank you very much, Chris.
How did California treat you?
It was great. Very tiring, but the weather was beautiful. You know, obviously our thoughts and prayers are with all the folks in California who are being affected by the fires there. But I do have to say that while we were in Long Beach, we saw no signs of fire.
Well, that was a blessing. And of course, a busy week, as always, the annual meeting. Do you want to take us through it, how it all went?
Sure. Yeah, happy to. So for those of us on staff, we were there a little bit earlier, but I think the majority of people started to arrive by Wednesday and Thursday. And we had probably one of the most jam-packed schedules we've had in recent convention history. Not only did we have three open tracks that we called events, eventers, and equine running throughout the convention. Those were kind of open educational talks and forums on issues of concern to our members. And those were really focused on being for all eventers, regardless of your involvement, for the organizers, and then for those of us who have our horses active in the sport, kind of some horse management, health, nutrition information to help us better care for those animals. And then it's kind of the most complex thing about the USEA annual meeting convention is that it's the one place where we can get the majority of all of our committees together. So there's a lot of closed door work as well. They're not closed to keep people out. It's more just to keep people on task who are on those committees. And we were able to accomplish lots and lots of work throughout the weekend. In fact, I'm just trying to catch up at this point with everything that we covered throughout. And then among those meetings, the Board of Governors always has two open meetings throughout during the convention. And I would say that the first meeting of the board on Friday was really more of a review of the year, and we learned that the USEA, our membership, again rose this year. We're at one of the highest member totals we've ever had in the history of the organization. At the same time, our starters declined by about 1.5% throughout the year. We're thinking that's probably because it was a bit of an off year. There was no World Equestrian Games, no Olympics, because where we saw the largest decrease in starters were in those upper level divisions. So we'll see in the coming year if that changes with the WEG coming up. At the same time, our beginner novice was higher this year than it was in the previous year. So in addition to all that, we had about 361 people attend the convention from all over the country. That's pretty consistent with our normal convention totals. One thing that was a little different is that this year, just about every single person attended not only the annual meeting of members, and that takes place on Saturday at noon for lunch, but also at the annual awards dinner. Like I said, almost all 361 people attended both of those functions, which is, we're not used to that. So great, great engagement. Boyd Martin gave a pretty memorable talk to our members about how he grew into the sport and how he came to be on Team USA. And I have to say that at least in my memory, it was one of the best talks I've heard. And we were a little nervous going into it. We weren't sure quite what Boyd would say, but he did a great job. And then over and above that, during the awards dinner, between the USEA Foundation and a couple of other entities, over $125,000 in grants were given out, with some of our our biggest recipients being Aaron Sylvester, who received the big Rebecca Broussard grant and that international travel grant. And then Madeline Backus received the smaller national grant. But it was quite a good night for Madeline as well, because she managed to also earn the Wilton Fair Fund, which was generously donated by the Lenneberg family and David Lenneberg towards an up-and-coming young emerging athlete. So she had quite a good night, and I was lucky enough to sit next to her during the awards dinner, and I kind of looked at her, and she didn't know entirely why she was there, because these awards tend to be a bit of a secret, and I unfortunately had to hold in the secret a little bit longer for her, but I did let it slip that I think you're going to have a really good night. And she kind of looked at me quizzically, but was I think she was absolutely amazed at the end of the night at how lucky she was. In addition to that, the board wrapped up the whole meeting on Sunday with a lot of work, and some of the high points for me is the continued progression of our relationship with Equa Ratings, the data analytics company that are working with us to make it so that every member who registers a horse with the USCA, that horse will have this very clear system indicating whether or not the horse has the qualifications and has the potential for a positive outcome if they compete at a particular level. So so that continues to progress. It'll be launched, and our members will have access to that information this year. And then just other than that, as always, Chris, it's amazing seeing all of our members that are able to make the trip and you know, make those connections. And you can't beat that personal contact. But this year we did kind of at the last minute surprise quite a few people by announcing that we were live streaming. We had three cameras running throughout the convention. And so while we had an open feed that anyone could access, we also had some closed streams that were only available to our members. And I think that urged a lot of members to renew their membership so that they could participate in that live stream. And I think we've had really good results. I think the numbers I heard were in the 1,200 or so unique viewers, and that was as of Saturday. So I haven't received the final report from Sunday. But you know, I think in the future, if we decide to stick with a live stream, it'll only grow pretty substantially from there. So I don't know. That's all I have off the top of my head right now, Chris.
Well, that's obviously a jam-packed week. A lot did happen, some good results there, and obviously a lot of fun too, as you say, getting to see the members again and a great attendance. Now, looking ahead to next year, Rob, is there anything that was announced that you'd like to share with the rest of the membership of the plans for the coming season, and being, of course, a WEG year as well?
Yeah, so having, you know, there are a couple of things. I mean, well, for our convention-wise, we'll be in New Orleans around the same time next year. So I urge everybody to take a look at that, and it'll be a Hall of Fame year. So I think beyond just the excitement of being in New Orleans, adding to that the Hall of Fame, it should be a very memorable year. But with it being a WEG year, we were lucky enough to have Eric Duvander come and speak to the membership. He's our new, I'm probably going to flub up the title at this point, but I think he's the technical advisor to our high performance program. So he's really in charge of our international competitive teams. And while he's pretty fresh in the job, I think everybody was very impressed with him, and he gave some insight into preparations and what he was doing to work with our potential team members for the WEG. The group from Tryon, the Tryon International Equestrian Center, came in and talked about a lot of the improvements they are making to the center. And while I didn't get to sit through that talk, I've been lucky enough to talk to them, and there's some pretty amazing plans for the center. And I know that those are well underway, both from the development of the cross country, and they've really made multi-million-dollar investments in all the facilities that Eventing will be utilizing. But they've also got some housing solutions that they're putting into place as well to try to house as many people as possible there on grounds. I know that we've been, the USEA has had outreach from both the United States Equestrian Federation as well as the folks from Tryon. So I know we will be involved and there to help to make the WEG a success. As far as the upcoming year too, there's a couple of rule changes that we'll be looking at, especially related to cross country fence design. Nothing particularly specific to announce at this point, but that'll be interesting to look at. And then in the rule change open forum, I know there's several rules currently under consideration, and those were discussed pretty deeply during the rule change open forum. And we'll see how those progress to the USEF and what passes for the upcoming year. But those are kind of the things off the top of my head. I know our volunteer incentive program was also a central point of discussion for our organizers, as this event was this convention was heavily focused on the organizers. So we had a lot of great discussion on ways we can continue to improve that program, which has already been pretty widely accepted. And on top of that, we had our first volunteer leaderboard winner this year, and that was Mike Smallwood. We were really excited to be able to launch that. And then, the calendar process to establish events on the calendar for 2019, not just 2018. That's old news by this point, but for 2019 was kind of in full force there at the convention. And between the USEF and the USEA, our organizers, our areas, we're really trying to take another good hard look at how the calendar process works. Because ultimately we want the process to improve. We want it to be as simple and as possible, but at the same time, we want to make sure that our existing kind of linchpin events throughout the country, those events both from the lower levels to the upper levels, that we find a way to make sure that they are able to continue to thrive, and yet at the same time provide a fair and equal way for new events, new venues to come onto the calendar. So those are really central to our discussions, and I think in the coming year we will continue to fine tune that system. So I'm excited for the future.
Do you want to mention the American Eventing Championships, of course, next year? What that looks like? Is there any updates there, Rob, about that specific signature event, of course? And then, of course, the Future Event Horse and Young Event Horse. You had sessions at convention for both of those, didn't you?
Yeah, we did. Yeah, on the AEC, so we are going to Colorado, the Colorado Horse Park in Parker, Colorado next year. We're very excited for that. Everything appears to be in order, and that will occur on the Labor Day weekend in September, end of August, or first week in September this upcoming year. And a couple of things we are looking at having the normal beginner novice up through advanced divisions. At this point, we don't believe we'll host the modified division yet, only because we are still looking for more events to put the modified divisions in place so that we can have an adequate number of qualified riders compete in it. But I see that coming online in the not too distant future as well. The big announcement right there at the start of convention was that we have come to terms with the folks operating out of the Kentucky Horse Park. So in 2019 and 2020, the AEC will be moving to the Kentucky Horse Park. And I know a lot of our members are incredibly excited at that opportunity. And then for the future Event Horse and Young Event Horse programs, for the future Event Horse program, we will be hosting a central championship this upcoming year. And that's exciting. And we're very thankful to the Texas Rose Horse Park for hosting that. And additionally, we'll continue with our Eastern and Western FEH championships. And again, with the Young Event Horse, we'll still be hosting that on the East and West Coast. I'm not sure if we've taken a look at a central Young Event Horse Championship yet, but luckily enough, by the time your horses hit 4 and 5 years of age, travel is a little bit easier than say with a yearling for the future Event Horse program. But those are looking good. I remember we also announced the officials for the Young Event Horse program, but I'm going to have to look that up because I'm not remembering who our officials are going to be on the top of my head. But no, I think we are excited about where we're going. And, I think this is going to be a great year, and having the WEG, in our own backyard, it can only be in my mind, a good thing, both for growing interest in the sport, as well as for taking advantage of the home field and hopefully bringing a medal for Team USA.
Well, we all hope that we can celebrate that this time next year, Rob. In the meanwhile, of course, if anyone wants an update of what happened at convention in details, there's lots of reports on the website and images. And also people can look at the live stream again. That's permanently on there, is it, Rob?
So I know, yes, I know right now, I'm not sure that the videos are accessible, but we are going to have those videos up and online. And I think what we might be doing is putting out particular talks and particular sessions over the coming weeks and months so that people are able to view those at any time. And we're really, one of the main things we want to do is make sure that our members see benefit in their membership, and making sure that they have access to those is central to that.
Well, that's all, of course, on the website, useventing.com. And just to go back to the names of the officials, can they be found on the website, Rob?
Yeah, they can. I know that we reported them in a few of the stories related to the Young Event Horse and Future Event Horse program. I think what I was referring to were the Young Event Horse judges, and I know that they're on the website. In fact, as I'm sitting here talking to you, I'm furiously trying to scan and find them. But I recommend that our members take a look for themselves and see.
And, of course, Kate Loki is the point person there, too, if people do want to contact her for any specific information about this program.
Yeah, absolutely. Kate's great. And, again, like you said, she'll know the answer to just about any question they have.
Perfect. All right, Rob. Well, thank you very much for that annual review of this year's annual meeting and convention out there in California. Thanks for taking the time to come on the program, Rob.
Hey, anytime, Chris. Thank you.
And that's our show for this week. As we mentioned, you'll find all the updates, news, and coverage of the convention on the website at useventing.com. You can also get updates, of course, on our social media, on Facebook and Twitter, and also find out when the next episode of this podcast will be available. If you listen to the show on the website and prefer to download it to your podcast player on any mobile device, just go to iTunes or any other music app. I'll be back in 2 weeks' time for another episode of the USEA's official podcast. Until then, thank you for listening wherever you are in the world, and enjoy your eventing.